하심 제 담지기 돈도 산적고 방 토거로 쇼세 비게다스 전주심 계제 전주심 비 죄발로 라비에텔라 네 파신 진비 진바도 주심 세바 전주의 삼대 세력에 파신 줄래 달라비에 냠내 지야 되래 옌세다 먼저 그신 진비 파신의 냠내 지야라 네 라비에텔라 전주심 반남기 다 전주심 계산에 전주심 기신 비고네 되네 진비 냠내 엔치고레스 주선 진비 냠내 되라 但是这个三星的金巴达
Good evening. And last week we concluded looking at the presentation on the three types of generosity. The generosity of giving of the Dharma, generosity of giving fearlessness, and generosity of material giving. And these are the three practices of generosity that a bodhisattva engages in order to directly be of benefit to beings and through the accumulation of virtue and their own spiritual development to indirectly be of benefit to beings in that it's through their spiritual development, their eventual attainment of enlightenment, that they will become the most skilled of guides and be able to lead all beings to their own individual enlightenment. And with such a motivation, a motivation of bodhicitta, the bodhisattva engages in the practice of the three types of generosity. The practice of generosity is primarily cultivating the intention to give, the wish to give. And the motivation behind this wish to give is to fulfill the objective of the bodhisattva, to bring about happiness to beings, particularly lasting, stable happiness of enlightenment, but as well as temporary happiness for beings on their journey to the attainment of their own enlightenment. Also, the bodhisattva is cultivating the motivation to give to others so as to eliminate suffering that beings are experiencing, in particular, to be able to guide beings to eliminate their suffering entirely, but also to temporarily overcome suffering. So this is the motivation that a bodhisattva is cultivating in meditation, the wish to give, so as to bring temporary and ultimate happiness to beings, as well as to temporarily and ultimately or finally liberate beings from suffering. And with such a motivation then, a bodhisattva, out of meditation, will readily take every opportunity that comes their way to practice generosity to others, whether that opportunity is giving advice, teaching the Dharma, or providing fearlessness to those whose lives are in danger, or fulfilling material needs. However, the bodhisattva can be of benefit to others. Independent on this meditation of cultivating the wish to give, they'll wholeheartedly, joyously give to others. And through the habituation cultivated in meditation, this is a practice that they will engage in with ease. They will not experience difficulty from their side in terms of holding themselves back, because with joy, with delight, they'll want to ease the suffering of others, want to bring happiness into the lives of others. In order to be able to cultivate successfully any training in the Buddha Dharma, one needs to reflect at the outset on the benefits of this training, because it's through understanding the benefits that one comes to integrate the purpose of transforming one's mind in this way. So one will generally reflect on the benefits that will come to oneself as well as the benefits that will come to others through one transforming one's mind through this particular training. So here the training is cultivating the wish to give, the mind of generosity. So the benefits that the Bodhisattva trains in relation to her own spiritual development is that all good qualities need to be developed to the level of perfection, or to express that differently, all good qualities need to be developed to their fullest extent, because it's in the state of Buddhahood that all good qualities have been perfected or developed to the fullest extent. And this is the goal of the Bodhisattva, to become a Buddha. So therefore, through cultivating and strengthening the good quality of generosity, they will be progressing towards the point where this good quality is perfected, in other words, where enlightenment is achieved. And then accompanying this, the reflection goes to the benefits that come to others. And here there's a strong understanding that beings are suffering. Through having meditated previously on the suffering realms of samsara and the reasons for this, they'll understand that beings, despite longing for, yearning for happiness, keep experiencing suffering after suffering because of having the suffering basis of the contaminated aggregates. Overwhelmed by love and compassion then for beings, the bodhisattva will generate the wish to alleviate the suffering of others through the expression of this wish to give. Readily, the bodhisattva in meditation will give to beings all the material comforts beings need, or they will give all fulfill all the material needs of beings, whether it's food, it's clothing, it's shelter, whatever the, or medication, whatever the material needs are of beings. The bodhisattva in meditation gives to beings, fulfills their needs, and brings temporary alleviation of suffering, temporary happiness to beings. Similarly, meditation, the bodhisattva gives fearlessness to beings, imagining those beings who right now are facing imminent death, their life is in danger and they're suffering tremendous fear. The bodhisattva gives them fearlessness in this situation, liberates them from untimely death. And moreover, in meditation then, the bodhisattva imagines scenarios where they can give skillful advice to beings, and in particular, where they can teach beings the Dharma, teach beings who the true enemy is, the true cause of our suffering, which isn't around us, it's not something external to sentient beings, but it's their own afflicted minds. So the bodhisattva will imagine skillfully teaching beings, as well as teaching them not only how to recognize the cause of suffering, but eliminate it, and accompanying this, to identify virtuous minds, and how to cultivate them. So in this way, the bodhisattva in meditation cultivates the wish to give through these three different expressions of generosity, giving of the Dharma, of fearlessness, and material provision. Then, in dependence on the repeated training in meditation, the bodhisattva firstly will take all opportunities that come their way to give to beings. Moreover, they may even seek out opportunities to give to beings so as to alleviate the suffering of beings. This is how bodhisattvas are training, and they have been training. Bodhisattvas have been training in this way since beginningless time. And we, whilst not yet bodhisattvas, we have the aspiration to cultivate the paths of a bodhisattva within us and to achieve the same goal that they are striving towards, the lasting happiness of Buddhahood, the state where one can be of greatest benefit to others. So with such a similar motivation, we then engage in the meditation in the same way as a bodhisattva does. Cultivate the wish to give to others in these three expressions of the giving of material goods, of fearlessness, and of the Dharma. And then, in dependence on this cultivation of the motivation in our meditations, we too then make actual offerings, offerings to the three jewels, offerings in these three ways to suffering beings. So this is what we've been looking at over the preceding three classes. Tonight then we'll continue and we come to the next perfection, that of the perfection of ethical restraint.
Mm-hmm.
We're near the bottom of page 40. So for this perfection, I've just made a retranslation. You'll see it's not overly different, but it matches the Tibetan a little more closely. So near the bottom of page 40, and I'll just read it twice. You must attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. In order to do so with mindfulness, introspection, shame and embarrassment, firstly, guard against engaging in non-virtue as you do your life. So I'll read, this is what Genda read thus far, I'll read it again. You must attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. In order to do so with mindfulness, introspection, shame and embarrassment, guard against engaging in non-virtue as you do your life.
That's what me love you do. That changes the banam ye love that is Sungorva, Chesan, Simja Tamji, you don't know San Yoko on top of a jazz, Simja Tamji don't San Yoko on top of a jazz, and Besim Topper Show, and Bechan, you same won't do you change you same, you couldn't get long, Gunia, Tambo, and you same couldn't get Langores, Kuno, Shigurwa, Simja Tam San Yoko on top of a jazz, Eddie.
So within the Lamrim, we at the section that is directed at an audience of bodhisattvas. Hence, the first line is clear about the motivation that a bodhisattva has. You must attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. And the text continues. And you'll see here that I've translated the term, some of these terms in the way that we're more used to coming across them, whereas the text has perhaps an older way of translating. In order to do so with mindfulness, introspection, shame, and embarrassment, firstly, guard against engaging in non-virtue as you do your life. So those mental factors, mindfulness, introspection, shame, and embarrassment. The meaning of this, of the expression or the term rather, ethical restraint, is again, like with generosity, it's a mindset, it's an attitude. So the practice of ethics is a mental practice. It's where one makes the commitment that I will not engage in any non-virtuous act with my body, my speech, or my mind. And this is most usually expressed through the 10 non-virtues. So again, ethical restraint is where one makes the commitment, the mental commitment, that I will not engage in any of the 10 non-virtuous actions. In other words, I won't engage in any non-virtue with my body, speech, or mind.
Some ジュンシギンセンベサムロディパーガゴロワ。ジュンシギンセンベサムロジュエナ、ディギンチネ、ナンジュンシゴロワ。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセンベサムロディングオマ、ガゴロジャン。ジュンシギンセ
The purpose of making being intentional about not engaging in non-virtue is that without this intent, one will engage in non-virtue. Without making the commitment not to harm one's behavior and speech, or even just merely our way of thinking, will be harmful. Hence the need to make this active commitment not to bring harm. So the term protecting one's ethics, this term protecting or guarding one's ethics, this has two meanings. There's the one meaning that you protect an ethical way of thinking. In other words, you guard your mind to ensure it remains virtuous. So part of the commitment is to guard your ethics, meaning you keep your mind virtuous. Accompanying this is the second meaning of to protect or to guard. You guard against the mind going in a non-virtuous way. For example, when one makes a commitment not to cause any harm to others, this would include, I make the commitment not to lie. So here, you're guarding your ethics by bringing a stop to lying to others, to ceasing to others. And the second meaning then of protecting is also to protect your ethics. In other words, keep your mind virtuous.
Dibi Java di Dikuno di Pachasan Gagor, Gayodu, Dibi Java Ligoma. Tata Java Gawali Yorson, Givi Java di Ligor watches and Givi Java de la Digi Sun Jene, Karsun was a Navy, Nijuki Java di Pa Ga, then Givi Java di Yaki Tangor, Chesna Delia Sung, Sigur Disungur, than that.
And to make clear these two meanings of protecting or guarding one's ethics, is take, for example, a famous person or a leader who's traveling around. They will always be accompanied by bodyguards. So what is the role of the security detail? It's to guard the body of this famous person or of this political leader. So the security detail's work is literally to guard the leader's body. And in their role of being bodyguards, they are serving two purposes. One is to guard the body or the life of their leader from harm. The second is by the leader being protected from harm or guarded against harm, the leader can engage in fulfilling their duties, the work that they have set out to do, and thereby have the opportunity for to be successful. So this too is the role of protecting the mind. So the word of guard or to protect. It's protecting the mind from non-virtue, just like the bodyguards protect the body of the leader from being harmed. And through doing so, ensuring that also that the mind can engage in virtue and thereby achieve the goal of the practitioner. Just like enabling the leader to go about fulfilling their duties, hopefully successfully. So therefore, protecting one's ethics or guarding one's ethics has these two meanings of blocking non-virtue or putting an end to non-virtue and guarding one's virtue, keeping one's mind on virtue. And let's apply this then to ourselves. So how do we accumulate causes for suffering? How do we bring suffering into the lives of others? Well, this is through our physical behavior or our verbal communication with others. For example, if we engage in physical conflict with others, or we steal from others, or we engage in verbal conflict with others, speaking harshly to them or deceiving them. So in this way, we bring harm into the lives of others, but also into our own lives, not only in the moment, but we create the causes that will lead us into the lower realms in our future rebirths. And once born there, it's so difficult to accumulate virtue and almost impossible to progress towards liberation. So therefore, we see that it's through our body and speech that we create harm for ourselves and others. But our body and speech doesn't go in a direction, or it isn't unwholesome just spontaneously. It's rather motivated by intention, there is a motivation that leads to our speaking in a particular way. And this isn't the case only with unwholesome speech and behavior, but also wholesome speech and behavior, virtuous speech and behavior. This doesn't just happen. Rather, there is an intention behind that, motivation. So therefore, mind is primary, for it is what leads to expression of speech or physical behavior. So therefore, guarding the mind, protecting the mind is crucial. This is what needs to be done. If we guard our mind from the afflictions, if we guard our mind from being non-virtuous, in this way, we will be guarding our physical and verbal behavior too. And if we do that well, we also, the second meaning of guarding or protecting, enabling the opportunity for us to keep our mind on virtue. And thereby, our mind is virtuous, and the speech and physical interactions that our mind motivates, this too is virtuous. So thereby, by guarding our mind from being afflicted, we enable the opportunity for our mind to abide in virtue. We had the four mental factors mentioned, so the two we have there, firstly, are mindfulness and introspection. So these are crucial, because I'll read the lines again. You must attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings in order to do so with mindfulness, introspection, and so forth. So mindfulness and introspection are crucial. Mindfulness, or perhaps in English it works better to say awareness, being aware of one's mental process, being aware of what is happening internally, and utilizing the more analytical mind of introspection. Utilizing these two, we can be aware of whether our mind is virtuous or not. Without mindfulness and introspection, or without being aware and being vigilant, a synonym here for introspection is vigilant. Without being vigilant and aware, we're not going to know whether our mind is virtuous or not. We're just going to mindlessly be going about our business. So these first two mental factors are essential. To present the role that the mental factor of mindfulness and that mental factor of introspection plays, you can take an analogy of a military encampment in a war zone. So the military encampment will be well guarded, They will have a perimeter and a gate within the perimeter, and there will be sentries at that gate. But they won't just leave, that's insufficient protection. They will also have patrols out in the field who will be acting as scouts to be sure if enemy is approaching, and to see from a distance if enemy are approaching. And if they see some movement that looks suspicious, they will immediately radio back to the sentries at the gate and report what they're observing, and the sentries will make the decision that danger is coming, close the gate. Similarly, from the analogy, introspection plays the role of the scout, and the sentry is likened to mindfulness, because it's introspection that is analyzing the mental process, seeing what is happening within us. Then mindfulness, which the Tibetan, the synonym is memory, mindfulness serves to recall the training and will identify whether what introspection has identified is virtuous or non-virtuous. And thereby, with these two, a decision will be taken. The mind is on virtue or not. So again, it's introspection that is, or the synonym of vigilance. So we have the mental factor of vigilance, being very aware of our mental process, and it's reporting this to mindfulness, which again has the synonym of memory or recollection, which determines whether the mental process is virtuous or not. To emphasize one last time the importance of mindfulness and introspection. These two are utilized in all our meditation, and ideally we should be utilizing them in between sessions as well, being aware of our mental process, keeping it virtuous. In meditation, they are also crucial, whether one is engaging in an analytical meditation on any topic, or one is trying to develop calm abiding. One utilizes continuously mindfulness and introspection so as to be aware of our mental process and to thereby be sure that we are staying on whatever topic we are meditating on. Hence, mindfulness and introspection are two key components in the accumulation of virtue, the cultivation of virtuous minds. The next two, which are of crucial importance, are shame and embarrassment. So they are alternatively translated in your book, but more usually shame and embarrassment. So of the two, so these are two virtuous mental factors. Shame is where we ourselves, or from our own perspective, we serve as a restraint against non-virtue, where we say about ourselves, this is not who I want to be. This way of thinking, this afflicted mind, is discordant with how I see myself. So here, this virtuous mental factor of shame draws us away from non-virtue towards virtue.
So,
And the second mental factor of despair, embarrassment, this is also a virtuous mental factor. It serves a similar role. How it differs from shame is it comes from a different perspective, whereas shame was about where we restrain ourselves, looking at, this is not, for example, this is not who I want to be. Here, we think about the impact, firstly, on others. If I, say, steal from someone or lie to someone, I will bring unhappiness into their life. So that serves to turn us away from non-virtue. Or similarly, knowing that Buddhas with their omniscience, Bodhisattvas with their powerful clairvoyance, they are aware of our behavior, of our way of thinking, acting, and speaking. They will be disappointed in how I'm training. They will be disappointed in me not following their advice. That too then is the virtuous mental factor of embarrassment that turns us away from non-virtue and towards virtue. So here with shame and embarrassment, the key difference is the point of perspective, where shame's looking directly at oneself and embarrassment is looking from the perspective of others. And both shame and embarrassment have their opposites, which are not virtuous mental factors, of course. So being shameless, this is where one doesn't care about what's one behavior. One usually will justify to oneself in one way, and thereby does not act as a restraint. Oneself does not act as a restraint on one's behavior. So this would be non-shame or being shameless. And similarly with embarrassment, or the contrary will be non-embarrassment, where one doesn't care what others say or the impact on others. If others criticize, that's their problem. If others are harmed, that's their problem. So these two then are contrary to the virtuous mental factors, opposite to the virtuous mental factors of shame and embarrassment.
Then in Zanda, Chisan Samba, Samba Nare Chela, Samba, Samba Sriache, the Nare Chis, Nare Labdu, Dinian, Mosa, Mosa Samta, Surim Soya, Diana, Casu Teo Samta, Surim Soya, and Jamba, Shijin, Surim Sungore, Sigur, Nare Chile, Denis Sam, Samu Disitin, Surim Sungore, Sigur. だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だ ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསྲ 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 གསྲ
The text then continues. So these first four mental factors, mindfulness, introspection, shame and embarrassment, are to be utilized in all three types of ethical restraint. It also has three divisions. So the text continues, but Gana didn't go straight to the text. But we're coming now to the first of the three types of ethical restraint, and that's the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct. Or, in brief, it's just the ethics of restraint. So this refers to, because the word for vows and is the word for restraint. So it has both meanings. To restrain oneself, to take a vow, to make a vow. So the first type of ethics, the ethics of restraint, is the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct, where one makes the promise to refrain from harmful conduct expressed through our body or our speech, as well as harmful conduct that is only mental. So this would be done initially undertaken in a ceremony of either where one receives ordination vows or one where one receives the vows of the non-ordained. So here, before one's teacher, one receives vows makes vows, and promises to restrain oneself. Again, the word for vow means restrain. So you're promising to restrain your way of thinking and thereby your physical and verbal behavior. You're making a commitment not to harm. So where one receives vows, one has both received vows and one has engaged in a practice of ethical restraint or ethical conduct. One can do something similar, but where one doesn't receive a vow, but does engage in a practice of ethical restraint, where one makes a commitment to oneself, so not to a teacher. One makes a commitment to oneself not to engage in a certain activity or to refrain from something. So this is an illustration of ethical conduct, but not a vow, because one hasn't received a vow from one's teacher. So this first type can be directly receiving a vow or not. If it's not, then one is making a commitment to oneself. Making a vow, restraining the mind, the meaning then here ties closely to what I was presenting earlier about the meaning of protecting the mind or guarding the mind, where one is guarding the mind from non-virtue, keeping the mind on virtue, these two together. So that meaning of protecting and guarding we can include with vow, in that you promise to protect your vow, meaning you're promising to protect your mind from going in a non-virtuous direction and to rather keep it on virtue.
지난 전주 선발라 전주 선발라 아니 잡중 요아래 아니 잡중 마이베 김바 김바 요아래 지난 지산 돈바 돈바 장장 납되바나 돈바 휴에 돈바 세네 잡주 김바 제시 선바 김바 되길이야 돈바 숨고 말아 지산 다 김바 기니나 돈바 숨고 말아디 멘비게다 기니 돈바 마슈바나 잡주 제시 선바 되게 아니 니주 돈비 추림 숨스 마도 돈바 숨스 돈바 기시고 말아지 니주 돈비 추림 숨고 해야지 지나다 루마 유숨게 니게와 쭈뻥베게 지금에 선비 숨어야지다 용수 속바
This first of the three types of ethical restraint, that of the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct. This can be practiced, of course, this in the context of bodhisattvas, so by both those who are ordained and non-ordained. So ordained, of course, will have received vows, and with the non-ordained, one would assume, as a bodhisattva, they would have received the lay vows, but there may also be bodhisattvas who haven't received the lay vows. All three types, so the ordained, the non-ordained, whether having lay vows or not, will be able to engage in the ethics of restraint, this first of the three divisions. It's difficult to overemphasize the importance of ethics. It really is a foundational practice for all other practices. Whichever practice one aspires to and goal one wishes to attain, the foundational practice is ethics. So just like a field prepared well will harvest a bountiful crop, so too, through a foundation of ethics, all one's training will go well. Therefore, this is a crucial practice. So that in brief was the first of the three types, the ethics of restraint, or the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct. The second is the ethics of collecting virtue. So the ethics of collecting virtue in the context of bodhisattvas. So here, the bodhisattva will be engaging in the practices of the six perfections, accumulating virtue or collecting virtue in order to achieve their goal of Buddhahood for the sake of others. So the ethics of the second division of ethics, the ethics of collecting virtue, is engaging in the practice of the six
perfections.
And So the first type of ethics, that of the ethics of restraint, here one is guarding one's body, speech and mind from going in the direction of non-virtue and rather keeping it on virtue. The second type of ethics, the ethics of collecting virtue, here one is engaging in the six perfections and rather, and not just engaging in them, but of all the six perfections, where one already has skill and familiarity, this one increases ever further. And where one is still a bit new to the training, one cultivates this newly and develops it further. So here, the key component of engaging in the six perfections is the increase and the development of the qualities of the six perfections within oneself.
え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじばちで借ばそうするやつ。え、まじば kongwele tangwa. Tene, shinye dhubme de shinye ma dhub kye chu, chenpa na tsudu sebe nyam dhusi nyam nyam kye chu, kye chu. Tene kongwele chaya de tangwa de, chisang kewe chu, sosu yu la, ane kewe yu chu, nam na chasang sosu yu liya kewa de kye chaya. Da kewa de ki mongwo suya de, mongwo kongwele tangwa za, kewa chu, du yu tsutim sa chi, di sungurwa, du yu sim.
The second type of ethics, that of collecting virtue. Isn't the word collecting, or to collect, just like we use in other contexts where one collects possessions or collects objects? So likewise, one gathers or collects virtue onto one's own continuum. So the bodhisattva in the engagement of the second practice of ethics, they are through engaging in practices such as the six perfections as well as developing their good qualities of love and compassion, they are collecting virtue onto their own continuum. With the first type of ethics, the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct, here one is utilizing mindfulness, introspection, shame, and embarrassment to guard one's mind and ensure that one's mind doesn't go towards non-virtue. In other words, one doesn't allow the afflictions to arise and dominate, but rather one keeps one's mind on virtue. And this way, one is being ethical and protecting oneself as well as others. The other practice, though, the second division in the ethics of collecting virtue. So this is where one is engaging in, let's say, for example, meditating on emptiness. So one's cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness. Here, one is cultivating good qualities within oneself. One is collecting virtue or gathering virtue. And this is the second type, the ethics of collecting virtue. So here, one is accruing good qualities on one's own continuum, but not explicitly and not engaging in others in a non-harmful manner. So we see here that there's a difference in focus between the two. The first, the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct, could be through engaging in various meditations, but it's primarily through watching one's mind. But when one is cultivating good qualities, such as cultivating love on one's continuum, or the wisdom realizing emptiness, here one is collecting virtue onto one's continuum, and then it's included in the second division. What makes the cultivation of, for example, the mind of love or the wisdom realizing emptiness and so forth, a practice or the ethics of collecting virtue, is that the second type of ethics is done in dependence on the first type. So therefore, it is a practice of ethics. So now we can refer to the text. So I'll read what the text says here, my translation of the text. So first, number one of the three types of ethics, guard against engaging in non-virtue as you do your life, the ethics of refraining from harmful conduct. Then second, independence on the ethics of refraining from harmful conduct, you must further your practice of the six perfections. So here the third Dalai Lama is making the point that the ethics of collecting virtue, and what he has explicitly said in the text, you must further your practice of the six perfections, is a practice of ethics because it's done in dependence on this first type of the ethics of refraining from harmful conduct. And this is what makes it a practice of ethics. Without the first practice of ethics, in general, just to say, if one is not ethical, if one is not training in ethics, if one is not keeping one's mind virtuous, it's very difficult for one to collect much virtue, or for one's collection of virtue to be successful. So to engage in the second type of ethics, one has to engage in the first type, not only to make it a practice of ethics, but also for one to gather extensive amounts of virtue. So now we come to the third type. So I'll read the text and then refer back to the earlier part of the text. So the third type is independence on those two, work for the benefit of sentient beings and guide them to accumulate virtue too. So here we come then to the third type of ethics, and that is the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. The ethics of benefiting sentient beings comes about independence on the prior two, the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct, and the ethics of collecting virtue. So independence on training in these two, then when one engages in acts of direct benefit to others, this becomes an act of ethics. So if we take as an illustration what we've been looking at in the preceding 3 weeks on generosity, if one is teaching the Dharma to those who are suffering, if one is giving material goods to those in need, if one is protecting the lives of those beings facing grave danger, One is practicing generosity. And if that practice of generosity is done on the basis of practicing the ethics of restraint, the first type, as well as the ethics of collecting virtue, then this becomes a practice of the third type, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. What makes the third type, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings, stand out? Is this stand out from the others? Is that one is directly engaging in activities to help others achieve happiness and to help others eliminate suffering. So this is how the third type, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings, stands out. The ethics of collecting virtue is where one is now accumulating virtue on one's own continuum, whereas the ethics of benefiting sentient beings, one's engaging more directly with others. And also in this, so I'll read the text again, independence on those two, so the first two divisions, work for the benefit of sentient beings. And that is the name then of this third type of ethics, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. And the point, the sentence concludes with, and guide them to accumulate virtue too. So here, the third Dalai Lama is explicitly mentioning, when engaging in the ethics of benefiting sentient beings, one should also be enabling beings or guiding beings with the knowledge and the skill to accumulate virtue themselves and to eliminate the causes of suffering themselves.
Bene disse ora bene mi ci singa ta bia ibina ta ko singa ta sing me bana ochoro korong ge da tondo ya ko yan ya lia manzo ko le lam den ji singa ta bia ge zo chora den 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 singa ta tondo du ske ben pa ya ko ji ge sia ji ma lu den ji ji ko tondo ya ko ji chu ji kang se ya ge tablam den ya yor wa da dene ge bu ja ani ji singa ta ji ge bu den ji bu mo bu na chora di ma cha san ji su ya ga ya ma ji su ya ji du si ne ya ge ne ti tondo ta shu su ne ku ve ne di kola karşı olsun ne kola ya kotondo ya bu ya kanga seyge döndale kola ya labçe ci cebgu orte yine jesusun adigi de la gadu bu sözü de ne kola dikba saygoru va sizin pembe dugu ci samda ci orte kola dikba saygoru va sizin kana mato va ligor kola kana mato va sen dikba le kola kana mato va ligor sizin kana mato va me me basi de kola dikba sa ma ci va ci ne tabla mi yapo diye tüyen kukuru yesi orte kola dikba sa ci ne tabla yapo tüyen ne kola dikba saygoru va sizin yapo ci orte ne dikba sa ci ne dikiyo ama kola dikba sa ma ci va ci ne geyve çava da ne kola dunga seya da dikiyo dubya ge tabla mi yapo tüyen kukuru yesi sizin çong ruhu ci kaptan labja ci kapçe çong ruhu ci ayya labgi ne
To talk a little further then on the third type, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. So here, let's say you have skill as a gardener, and you want to help someone who really doesn't know what they're doing, either as a gardener or maybe they want to grow some vegetables. So you can train them, you can give them advice, and in this way they can make a beautiful garden or grow some food. In this way you can help others experience some happiness, and especially if they're growing some food, then they have some sustenance. But so yeah, one has a good motivation of wanting to give to others, wanting to perhaps alleviate their suffering, bring them happiness. But in doing so, if one doesn't guide them in how to garden in a way that doesn't harm life, and maybe even ignores the life that is harmed, so if there are insects there, either one kills them or ignores that they may be killed, this is not an ethical practice, of course. And this training is called the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. So therefore, what's included in this is that when one is engaging in beneficial activities to others or in activities to benefit others, no harm should come. One should do so in a way that not only doesn't cause harm to others, but you guide the person you're training in how they themselves should not cause harm, how they themselves can avoid harming others. So just like perhaps more relevant than guarding maybe in business, if you're training up a staff member how to go about their work, if you tell them, well, this is what you can get away with, this is how you can cheat customers and not get caught, the person may be learning new skills, maybe they'll make a few extra sales, but this is hardly ethical. So here, what's included in the third type of ethics, that of benefiting sentient beings, is that when doing so, one oneself should not cause harm, and we should be guiding others in how they too cannot cause harm.
And in Asian, as you care, while in Yamlinche, Yungurva, Ajon, Chiki, Chiki, Susuki, Kom, Yamlinche, such a dual Burushin, Pajet, Yamlinche, Alia, and Chesia, Vatama Sujipa, Chibu, Bumar, Turch, and Sujia, Lucin, and Budura, and Tama Sujia, and Sosana, the Akivich, Chaotu, Kyoto, and Yamlinche, and Yahoo, or SSF, and New Kyoto, Komrupche, Alia, Yamlin, Kumachi, or Dinea.
So similarly, if you're inviting a friend who's taking up meditation, and you say it's good to have a clean meditation room, you know, this is where you in your visualization you'll be inviting the Buddhist to come, so you want it clean and presentable, you should then also advise them to take care in cleaning their room. Having a clean is important, but taking life is not worthwhile. We do not kill while we're cleaning our room. We should take care. So this is another illustration. Prepare the meditation room, prepare it well, but don't do so in a way that would cause harm in any way to others. So these three divisions of ethics are how bodhisattvas train, and ourselves as aspirants, we should do the same. Keep our commitment, as in the first, not to harm, the ethics of restraint, the commitment not to harm others through primarily through restraining our mind from being afflicted and keeping it virtuous, and thereby our body and physical actions and our verbal communication will be restrained from being non-virtuous and rather will be virtuous. And secondly, gather virtue, the second type, the ethics of collecting virtue, through training our mind in the six perfections. And then thirdly, expressing this training through the third type, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. And when we do so, when engaging in beneficial activities, ensure that firstly, we bring no harm. Secondly, where suitable, we help others accumulate the causes for happiness and eliminate the causes for suffering, and doing so without causing harm.
Then Lunga Yusum Ji Kwane Shenle Nubi Jawasa Zao Dibi Jawasa Zao Yin Jime Sembege Samlodi Nganzu Yane Yandu Danyadi Adi Nganzu Semle Ya Gomya Di Dire Lunga Yusum Ji Kwane Shenle Nubi Jawasa Zao Yin Jime Sembege Samlodi Di Nganzu Tsushim Sire Di Yane Yandu Nganzu Sam Danyadi Andi Dine Sam Danyadi Dine Rangi Lu Long Chue Keso Ta Cheva Tam Che Shenle Ya Shen Digi Chue Ta Shen Dunga Seyal Ya Tangi Sembege Ya konjo le pugi sanbi samna tae di ta jinbe nyamne chho di ni dinga zhe samle yane yang du ta nyamne che ji samne ne yane yang du ta di re ta ta ya di nyamne si di re da di ta che we de na an so su gu yu ma yu sum yu ge ne nyu bi ge ga jo ge to ne ta so su ge nyu ba le ba bi to ne ta xian ya ji ge ru bo che ya ta an ji che de ya ta xian an che so le jue ya ge jia wa che bai na jin ba Musu Lalin Degore, and Dinane Ngewa, Chudu Kasur, Gewa Chudu Sudumia Chago Ligore, and Simjing Duenjeva de Ligore, Simjing Duen, Simjing Dumasa, Digitugala, Pembongosu Lalin, Simjing Duenjuba, Nche Chigore, and Sosugi Dinamin Chedu, Sosugi Gewa de Mo Confit Jovenza, Gewa Chudu Chagor, Chisanjigine, Duchene Gang to Jedi, Dambo Yamin Jedi. Lunga Yusum Yeshu Chigi Zawin Chigi Me Sembe Samna Ta Tene Lunga Yusum Yukwane Kewa Ki Lu Long Chue Kesho Tam Shana Tangi Sembe Samna Nidhi Ta Di Nidhi Anto Yane Anto Kiti Na Gwambya Che Ta Ngusu Lalin Ta Ya Gwagab Ta Sosu Nipa La Pape Ki Ta Di Che Che Di Odo Shchi Na Chui Na Di Ki Ya Jangdo Shia Huwa Pa Di Ki Chimu Cha Guru Wa
Coming to the end of our time together. So here in summary, I want to present how I encourage you to meditate on this topic between now and our next class. And I'll present it in a way to meditate on these three divisions of ethics and combining it with the preceding meditations on generosity. So we as aspirants to the Bodhisattva paths, we should also generate the same motivation as bodhisattvas do. So that we looked at extensively previously. So it generates the wish, the determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others. Become a Buddha so that one can guide others to a state freed of suffering. And then, thereafter, having generated bodhicitta, one commits to training in the six perfections. Because these are the conduct that bodhisattvas engage in to accumulate the causes to become Buddhas for the sake of others. So here we reflect firstly with the first type of ethics, the ethics of restraining from harmful conduct. We make the strong determination and commitment not to bring harm to others. And to the extent that we can commit to not harming, at the very least, physically and verbally, we must do that. But moreover, the Buddha Dharma, or the paths, or the direction of the Buddha Dharma is about training our mind. So we really need to be committing to use mindfulness and introspection, shame and embarrassment, to ensure that our mind stays virtuous, to be aware of when non-virtuous minds, afflicted minds are arising, and avert them, and return our mind to virtue. Because in this way, we fulfill the first type of ethics of doing no harm, of not engaging in harmful conduct, refraining from harmful conduct. Thereafter, we engage in the second division of ethics, that of collecting virtue. So here you can meditate on generosity, because the ethics of collecting virtue is where you gather or collect virtue onto your own continuum through engaging in meditations such as love, compassion, or the six perfections. So yeah, you can meditate on generosity, recognizing that whatever I have in abundance, this I should use to help others. In particular, my skills and qualities and Dharma knowledge where I can, I should use to help others. This virtue I'm accumulating, offer it to others. So in this way, one is meditating on generosity, one of the six perfections, and one is doing so on an ethical basis, the ethics of restraint, of with a commitment not to harm. So therefore, one is engaging in the ethics of collecting virtue and engaging in the meditation on generosity. Thereafter, one comes to the third meditation, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. So here we can think of ways that we can express generosity. And so in our meditation, we think about, so today I'm going to have opportunities to encounter people in these circumstances. I am going to practice generosity to them, maybe offer them friendship, offer them my time, support them in whatever way I can. And in this way, we imagine practicing generosity without doing any harm. We can imagine environments where perhaps we would, our mind may be overcome by other afflictions, or advice could be harmful, and we, in our meditation, we role play how we can be skillful. And then, with such a motivation, perhaps because we're still in our meditation, we can make offerings on our shrine, and yeah, we will be making offerings to the three jewels. We'll be doing so with a powerful motivation. We'll be guarding our ethics. We'll not be engaging in any harmful act. So therefore, we'll be acting out this third type of ethics, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings, through making offerings on the shrine to the three jewels, and offering that virtue to others. And then in the conclusion of our meditation, we can commit that as we accumulate ever more virtue and our inner qualities thereby grow, our inner qualities such as love and ethical restraint and so forth, these we developing independence on others, these I will use to benefit others.
Okay.
So thank you. We'll finish there for tonight. Oh, yeah, we'll just take a question first. Yeah.
If one has a practical problem, like for example, white ants in the timber of one's home, so one has to either allow them to eat the timber and the house will fall down, or remove them. And unfortunately, the way to remove them is to get a pest control person.
So how does one ethically deal with the problem of a white ant infestation, where either one kills them or one's house gets destroyed? So the question is that I have one of two choices. Either I kill a lot of beings, and that's non-virtuous, or get someone else to do it, and they accrue the non-virtue as well as me, or I do nothing, my home is destroyed. Well, I, as Geshe, I will now follow the example of Buddha when he was asked 14 famous questions, and I will remain silent.
Yeah, this is okay.